Uh-huh.
The champ is here.
I have arrived.
The champ is here.
Holla.
The champ is here.
The champ I'm a kill him with the first verse.
The
and I'm
going to
bury him with the second.
The champ is here.
What?
The champ is here.
Thinking that you're better than me.
The champ is here.
Nah, boy, it's plain to see.
The champ is here.
Hate is soft when I step in the room.
The champ is here.
Y'all drop when they see what I do. I'm addicted to success. There's no rehab. Try to cure my addiction, I'll relapse. They want me to fall now and stop rap. You still hating on me? Homie, we off that. I got that you know new flow. Okay, let's go. Credentials so overweight that they call me sumo. Mr. Jones, nobody could ever hold this. My words soak through your veins. Call that shit osmosis. Number one greatest, all time hated. Still outspoken, I'm my all time favorite. Almost famous, me, I'm never nameless. Unsigned hype, ain't no other way to state this. Number one record, number one draftee. A one man show, one man army. Your hands can't hit what your eyes can't see. Man, float like a butterfly, sing like me. Thinking that you're better than me.
The champ is here.
Nah, boy, it's plain to see.
The champ is here.
Hate is soft when I step in the room.
The champ is here.
Jaws drop when they see what I do.
The champ is here.
Thinking that you're better than me.
The champ is here.
Nah, boy, it's plain to see.
The champ is here.
Hate is soft when I step in the room.
The champ is here.
Jaws drop when they see what I do. Oh, fresh, so straight back, no fiction. Number one spots, I don't like contradictions. Illest MC, Dr. Phil couldn't fix them. The answer to your problem, I 76 them. So what if they don't like me, I just stick to my agenda. If you ain't with me by now, I suggest that you surrender. A 2012, the haters, and I end they conjectures. This ain't Monday Night Raw, I ain't no pretender. Break the unbreakable, do the impossible. Swag so unique, no one else can make it rockable. I'm highly unstoppable, beating me, that's improbable. Don't try to cut me off, see my style ain't probable. Blindly, try me, on top is where you find me. Fade away, haters like Jordan in the 90s. I'm like an underdog, your boy can't guard. Not even Michael Vick could keep me in his backyard. Thinking that you're better than me?
The champ is here.
Nah, boy, it's plain to see.
The champ is here.
Haters talk when I step in the room.
The champ is here.
Jaws drop when they see what I do.
The champ is here.
Thinking that you're better than me?
The champ is here.
Nah, boy, it's plain to see.
The champ is here.
Haters talk when I step in the room.
The champ is here.
Sit back and just watch what I do.
What's up, everybody, man? Welcome to The Grind, the real show. Say what's up, man.
Great morning to everybody sitting on The Grind. Happy Tuesday. It's another day for us to wake up and be great.
Happy Tuesday. Open your eyes.
Yes.
Open your eyes today. So, you know, give yourself a hand clap. Give God a hand clap.
Yes.
For waking you up this morning, because you would have saw fit not to even do that. And everything would have been everything, man. But, you know, God bless y'all, man. Thank you guys for being a part of The Grind, man. The realest show ever. You know what we say. We're going to say some things on this show that some people may not like, but we're most certain we're going to say some things on the show that some people love, right? So you can't please everybody, but since you can't please everybody, try to please the people that you influence. So that's what we're going to do on the show today, guys. We're yet into another segment of our Power and Partnership series. And because we're talking about some super hard-hitting topics today, as always, we always talk about hard-hitting topics on this show. But because we're talking about some super hard-hitting topics on this show, guys, all centered around relationships, your ship, whatever your relationship is, right? Whatever it is, guys, now you have the opportunity to come on the show and get a little bit of insight, you know, on how you can get through it, you know, can cope with it, fight through it, whatever you want to call it. And, guys, we're going to do our very, very best not to sugarcoat anything for you guys, because I believe that life is watered down enough, right? So why not just get things the way you're supposed to get them, so that you can make the best decision that you can make for you and yours, man. All right. So I'm gonna go ahead and play this song, Pam, while you get your hair together and do all the stuff that you're doing over there. You know, you got a whole bunch of stuff going on over there. She was like a little, hamster over there, man, just going and going and going. But man, we're gonna be right back. Tell somebody the grind is on, and tell them the grind is on, man. And they're most certainly gonna want to actually jump on and hear about what we have to say today, guys. We'll be right back after this song, guys.
Baby, what you say? I ain't here to conversate. Baby, I don't play. From Miami, causing trouble in LA.
Tuesday and Friday at least, but we give it daily anyway, no matter if we're on mic or not. But anyway, man, welcome back to The Grind, the realest show ever. Man, want to definitely bring you guys right into up to speed on what we got going on. Talk a little bit about last week's show, let you guys know what's going on. For those of you, this is the first being a part of The Grind today. We do want to say what's up to everybody on Facebook Live, what's up to everybody on IG Live. But anyway, what's going on, C. Danielle B. Nickerson? What's going on? See you. Welcome to The Grind. Carolyn B., what's happening? What's poppin', Ms. Phyllis Lee? We see you. What's going on with you? Share this out. Share this out, guys. I'm getting ready to hit some tough topics, right? Tough topic. We got quite a few of them. Mrs. Marla James, what's poppin'? Welcome to The Grind, Mrs. Who's that? What's her name, Pam? Trailer. I ain't want to mess it up. Great to have you on The Grind, young lady. Cynthia Pryor, going on? Absolutely. Bree looks just like me. She is my twin.
Twin with hair.
I could not deny that one.
Mm-hmm.
So you're absolutely right. What's going on, Jamise, Nichelle, Sky, Carolyn B, see you out there. Thank you for sharing. And Lydia Katoy. Thank you for being a part of the grind this morning. Tatanisha Timms, thank you for being on the grind this morning, man. We love you guys. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for actually saying hello and waving. Didn't want to miss anybody right now. But nonetheless, man, let's jump into this thing because last week we saw, hey, you got somebody up you want to say hello to?
Thank you. Yeah, I say hello to everybody. And I say great morning to everybody. Thank you. Younger. Thank you so much. About to be
great morning. Said you before.
CEO Billy Bling, great morning. Great morning. Basketball mom, Nurse Nick 73. Hello, hello. Alicia, all y'all. Yes, hello. Great morning, everybody. Jumping on the grind. I appreciate you for tuning in. And my baby girl made me some eggs, so I'm eating.
Eat your
this
eggs,
morning.
Girl. This is the real show ever. Really show
and I
ever.
Normally don't eat.
Yeah.
It's early.
She's terrible.
So since you made them, I'm going to take the time to eat. So sorry, y'all.
All right. All right. So, man, let's jump into this whirlwind right now. What's going on, Sharon Huggins? Good to see you. Let's jump into this whirlwind.
Yes.
Right now, because, you know, relationships, man, it's a whirlwind. I'm not going to even try to sugarcoat it. It is what it is. So if you want to look at yours through rose-colored glasses for the rest of your life, then cool. Everything is everything all the time. You never have any issues.
Right.
So this may not be a show you want to listen to because we know full effect that, guys, there are some things that happen during a relationship that you absolutely love. Love it when he does that. Love it when she does that. And you know, everything is lovey-dovey. And then there are those moments when you just don't like what the other person does.
Right.
Right? But let me back up a little bit because last week we talked about, Pam, remember what the topic was last week?
Oh my gosh. What was it?
Anyway.
I know it was on relationships.
Yeah, we talked about relationships last week.
We talked about a lot of different
things.
But we
talked about, you know, we talked about the basis of love.
Right.
And what it is. It escaped my mind, too, so don't feel bad.
I mean, and I wrote it down, but, you know, I'm always changing notebooks, so it's in my other notebook on my other desk.
Yeah, mine is, too. But anyway, I know we talked about one of the things was, you know.
I got it right here. Three levels of love: mental, physical, financial.
Oh, how did I forget that?
Mind, body, money.
Drink some more of my NutriBullet.
I got some notes over here. See what you're talking about? I'm
all right.
On top of this.
So, three levels of love: mind, body, and money. MBM. We talked about that. We also talked about there's no such thing as love at first sight. It's lust at first sight.
Right.
Because you see things with your eyes first, so you maybe smell it with your nose, and it's good, but you've never tasted it yet. You've never actually had a conversation with the person. And absolutely, you're right, Miss Marla James. Is Love Enough was the actual name that we talked
Thank
about
you,
last week. And some of you guys made a determination that love was not enough, but we made the determination that love is enough. But there's some prerequisites to that thing, right, that you have to make sure that you follow. And if you're not following those prerequisites and those post-requisites to love, guys, then that means that you're not going to be able to stay together with just love. We're going to get into why that
love
is.
Love is the foundation, but you got to have the other
components. Yeah, man. If that thing never breaks ground, then you just love each other in the dark. But anyway, we're gonna jump into that because I think, you know, saying lust is, it's lust at first sight, guys. First sight. I think that's important because we're going to talk about something today that a lot of people already know, and that's the fact that relationships are hard, you know. They're harder now. Relationships are harder now. If you really start to think about it, you know. Here's one thing I've always believed. It's not what you think. It's what you feel.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in a relationship, when it comes to husband and wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever you want to call it, it's the intimacies of the mind that happens. Even the physical intimacies, it's God gave us five senses for a reason.
Right.
He didn't just say, let me just throw that in there for potluck. He gave it to us for a reason. So when people say get out of your feelings, that may mean that you're just too deep into it. Okay. You kind of like jumped way deep into it. And when you really think about what's going on, JB, my man Jeff Battle, what's going on, Bishop?
Bishop.
Love is in people, not relationships. Absolutely. Love is in people, not relationships. Good point, my brother. Man, I love you, man. Thanks for being a part of the grind.
That's
my best friend, y'all. So man, when you really think about this thing and you think about how you pull everything together as a husband and wife, and you say it's how, you know, get out of your feelings and things of this nature. And people say that because maybe you're overthinking things. Maybe you're just always emotional. But God did give us five senses for a reason,
right?
Those five senses are touch,
I see if
taste,
they remember them.
Feel, all right? Touch, taste, feel, sight, and hearing, right? So
good.
Don't try to test me like she
all
knows.
Right.
I gave her the answers just then, y'all. See how they do? They used to do you like that in school too, man. Be like, wait for you to answer the question. Yeah, I was gonna ask that same question.
I was gonna tell you that. I already knew the answer to that. Right.
So ain't no wrong with it, but you know what, man? I'm the person that I'll be asking the question. What that mean? I don't know because I want to know.
Right.
Right. So your five senses: touch, taste. Feel is the same one. Touch or feel, touch, feel, taste, hear, smell, and see. Your sight, right? Those are the five senses. She's looking at me like, yeah. So when you see something, if you see a big black gorilla over there, that's a big black gorilla. Probably.
Right?
If you see somebody pass gas, you need to probably go away. Somebody just pass some gas. Okay, so just walk away. You smelled it. God gave you that for a reason. If you taste something, Pam, and
right.
it don't taste good,
uh-huh.
right, then you say, I don't want no more of that.
Right.
If it tastes good, you say, I want more of that.
Right.
Right. So if you hear something that you don't want to hear, you're going to walk away.
You're going to turn
it off.
You
hear something you want to hear,
right.
you're going to move closer to it.
Right.
Same with your sight. You know, if you see it, you're going to gravitate towards it if it looks good, right?
Right.
And if it feels good to you, right? If it feels good, you're going to gravitate towards it.
Absolutely.
If it doesn't feel good, then you're going to gravitate away from it, right? What's going on, Jay Sherrod? Good to see you, my brother. You're going to gravitate away from it. So those five senses are there for a reason. And the whole topic that we want to talk about today is relationships are harder now. And a lot of you will get very, very philosophical on me and start talking about this and that. But, you know, some of you may get, you know, super spiritual on me and say God is love. And we've always known that God is love. All right.
Mm-hmm.
You got God. God is love for you. But what's your love for somebody else? You heard my man Jeff say, you know, love is in the people, not in the relationship. Right. So the love is in the person, but love is a verb. You agree with that, Pam?
Absolutely. Yes. Love is definitely a verb because it takes action. It takes emotions. It takes movement.
What was that first one?
It takes action.
That's
love is
one right there.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. It requires something of you. So, yes, it's definitely a verb. It requires action. Things have to be done in order for the love to grow, in order for the love to strengthen. And so it's going to require something of you. So it's definitely a verb.
Absolutely. It's definitely a verb.
And, you know, there's a lot of things that it's going to take in a relationship, you know, as far as, you know, with the love growing and things of that nature. So therefore, it's going to require daily work in order for, you know, it to strengthen and for to become. You know, definitely an actual word. It's not a
right. Done and now is her.
Yeah.
And I think everybody can agree with that because
not in
everybody wants to be shown that they're loved.
Right.
People want to be loved. You can say you love somebody, but you know, it's gotten kind of commonplace, and we'll get into that here in just a moment. But when you really think about the verb aspect of what love is, if you think about something that you see, it's you look at it and you say, oh, that looks good.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks good. When you get up on it and you really start to deal with it, maybe it looks good, but it's not good.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If you smell something, right, you smell something, you say, oh, that smells good. But when you finally get it and you put it in your mouth, it don't taste good.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So let me just mental note. This just smells good. Never put this in my mouth again. Right. So it's like smelling a flower. They're good to smell, but they're not good to eat.
Right.
Right. So when you go out and you when you whenever that you're attracted to, there has to be some sort of action that happens for you to get to determine whether or not you love it. Right. If Aunt Janie and them tell you that they cooked you a sweet potato pie, you hear that and you love sweet potato pie, you still got to put forth the action and go to Aunt Janie's house and get that sweet potato pie, right? And when you get there, you taste it and it ain't good. And you be like, oh, Aunt Janie, this is awesome. I love this pie, Aunt Janie. And you know that it sucks. It's not good. All right, I won't use a suck word on this one, but it's not good. So you lie to Aunt Janie them. And you tell them that the pie is good,
mm-hmm.
but the pie is not. We kind of do the same thing in relationships mm-hmm. over and over and over again. And you're not building the baseline or the foundation that you need to survive
right.
in the relationship.
Right.
Right. So everybody says, oh, I'm not a liar. I tell the truth all the time. No, you don't. You lie sometimes. Right. Sometimes you lie to your spouse. And I talked about this last week, and then we're going to get into 10 points, guys, of transition that has happened into what actually makes relationships harder these days, okay? But people have done it historically all the time. Men, women, y'all do it. You tell people what you want them to hear because you want to spare their feelings, right? You want them to feel good about themselves. But when you tell somebody, if somebody says, does this smell good? And they just put on the worst smelling perfume or cologne you've ever smelled in your life, right? But they've already put it on and they're dressed already and you don't want to tell them.
I think it's
that it don't smell good.
Because it's easier to tell them what they want to hear.
That's called it's easier to lie.
Yeah, it's easier to lie. It is. It's easier to tell them what they want to hear as opposed to speaking the truth. But in a relationship, when there's love, then it's going to require the truth. It's mm-hmm. going to require honesty. You know, that's one of the things that love requires in a relationship for it to grow, for it to build. You know, you got to have that. You got to have that communication, that open communication.
Right.
In a relationship to be able to share the things that need to be shared without it being taken in the wrong way.
Right. I mean, and it's the I want to tell you the truth foundation.
Right.
Right. If you ask me, I love you enough to tell you the truth. Right. So and I like what Bishop Battle just said. You know, he said love is an empty box, essentially. Right. You have to be able to you got to put into it in order to get something out. So I'll read you exactly what he said. The relationship is an empty box that affords those involved the opportunity to put into it what can come out of it. Right. So what you put in is what you're going to get out.
Absolutely.
Love has to be put into the box to have a loving relationship.
And
then you got to take that love. See, and it, guys, when we love is like an all-encompassing word, right? We say God is love. You know, you got to love. It's that agape love. You know, we're all called to love people, period, right? So we love everybody, right? Sometimes we just don't like what you do,
right?
Right? That's reality, right? So what you put in is what you get out.
Mm-hmm.
So
it
requires reciprocity. But here's the caveat to that you guys got to know. Here's the punch in the gut, and here's what people really don't want to really get to, because whenever you're doing something that requires something of you, it gets harder, and you tend not to do it.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
So
that pain factor or that stretching. Yeah, anything that requires of us, not just with love, but with a relationship, because it requires something of us, just in general in life, to create any type of success is going to require something of us. So many times, you know, you can shy away from it and not work on it, not build on it, because it's going to take some work. We said something key. Love is an action word. And you know what? It's going to require, it's a verb, right? It's a verb. And it requires verbs in order to make it work.
Action, baby.
Yeah, you see, it requires it in order for to make. Yeah, it's a verb, and it's going to require a verb. It's going to require some action. It's going to require compromise. It's going to require you doing the things necessary in order to make sure that you are on the same page, are on the same path, that you're unified, that you're communicating. That's an action word. It's going to require some work. It's going to require growth. That's an action word. So love requires a verb. It's going to require a verb in order for it to work. At the end of the day,
reciprocity.
Yeah.
So let's kick some people off the cliff right now, right? Because we're not going to give y'all a chance to jump today. We're going to just kick you right off, right in the back.
All
right. With the foot. We're going to kick you right off the cliff because some of you need to be kicked today.
What are we talking about? What's affecting relationships?
So here's the thing. Everybody, when you talk about things, this is why I love this show, because it's the realest show ever. And when you talk about things, when we talk about things on this show, as we said in the beginning, you're not going to say something that everybody likes.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it may be relative truth.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it may be absolute truth.
Right.
Right. The absolute truth is that when the sun is up outside, it's typically warm. Right. That's absolute truth. Relative truth is when the sun is up, I don't think it's as warm as other people think it's warm. That's my truth.
Right.
Right? So sometimes it's absolute. Sometimes it's relative.
Mm-hmm.
But in any event, guys, that's why you can't please everybody.
Nope.
Right. So we just got to say this stuff. And there's a transition that has happened, Pam, when it comes to relationships and how relationships are started, how relationships are perpetuated or built, and how relationships end.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything has changed. There's been a transition.
Right.
One of the transitions is conversation became texting.
Oh, wow. Yes, it sure did. You know, technology for real can, if you're not on top of it, technology can definitely kill a relationship because it takes out the feel, right? It takes out.
I want to change that word. It says kill. Technology can destroy.
Destroy. You're
that
right.
Just sounds a little worse.
You're right.
I know when you the kill word is dead, it's gone.
But
when you destroy something.
Right? No, you're right. Yes.
It can destroy your relationship.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
You don't talk anymore.
You don't talk anymore. You mm-hmm. know, and it's not just in your husband and wife, but any type of relationship, you know. The texting, the phone, and you really have to set some boundaries.
If I'm touching this,
right.
If I'm touching this, I'm not touching you.
Right, absolutely.
So here's the thing. Here's what happens.
Nowadays, you're touching that a lot.
Yeah, you touch it. Here's what happens. You're texting the things that you want to say.
Right.
Right. And you're just praying. You're using all of the emoticons that you can use. Sometimes you don't use any trying to get that thought across. Right. So you said, I'm texting. I'm boom, boom, boom. And, appreciate you, my brother. Thanks for jumping on, Bishop.
Bless you.
So you texting.
Right.
You're doing all these things, but you're texting to the person. You're not touching the person, right? But what if you're talking
to
the person and you're talking to them in person? Yeah, they can't see and hear the info. They can't see your facial expression. And when you're talking back in the day, relationships, well, baby, you know I love you. And,
right.
You know, it was the touch
right.
in combination with the words.
Absolutely.
Right?
As opposed to a text that says, I love you.
As opposed to a text.
Or,
I'm not
you know,
saying
and,
there's
and
no
not just in a,
foundation
in,
for it.
In a husband and wife relationship, you know, but that's in any relationship. You know, I know we're mostly focused on relationships with couples and things like that, or just in general, but that's in any relationship because texting has just taken over the world. And there's things that literally a text can be misconstrued. There's nothing like picking up the phone and having a conversation
right.
as opposed to, you know, sending it through a text because a text can definitely, it has no emotion. Texts
right.
have no emotion, you
yeah.
know, or you can use certain, what do you call it, punctuations, and now you give it emotion and now it's misconstrued in another way.
Right.
So, yeah, absolutely. It takes the feeling. It takes the touch. It takes the conversation. It takes the communication, you know, out of really how God intended us to communicate in order to strengthen our relationship.
Right. And so let's talk a little bit about evolution because we understand that because we know that before all of this technology came into play, and I'm not dogging technology. Pam's not dogging technology because
no,
there's
we need
a place for it, right? And I like what Kwashika says. She says set more boundaries, right?
Kwashika.
So that's Kwashika to me. Kwashika.
It's
my
Kwashika.
Bad. My bad. Anyway, I don't want nobody else mad at me. So set more boundaries, right, for yourself, which means there's nothing wrong with the technology.
Right.
It's how you're using
that's
the technology that matters,
boundaries.
Right? So the boundaries that you're going to set for yourself are maybe I'm going to choose to spend more time verbally communicating with my you know, with my spouse. Like I love, even with kids, when you're talking about business partnerships, that's different because there's no physical communication, things of that nature. So we're really talking about relationships like in marriages and in couples, okay, boyfriend, girlfriend type relationships, or whatever the case may be. So when you look at it, it's more or less you saying, like my daughter, take my daughter for instance, right? My daughter, Zaria, she's very hands-on, very independent, right? And you know, both my daughters are, but Zaria is she's the emotional one. And when she talks to you, she wants to see you. You know what I'm saying? She wants to see you. She
yes.
wants to be able to stand in front of you and talk to you and see the expressions on your face. And if one of your expressions are messed up, she's like, oh my God, look at your face. You know, this is who she is. But she communicates like that on more
right.
of an intimate level. But my point is, when you're looking and we're saying that a conversation became texting, that's what has happened. So set a boundary there.
But you know, I don't want to touch on this. I wanted to say this to the ladies out there, especially to the ones of us that are out here building this our TLC businesses, because this is a woman dominant business, right? And it's because of, you know, our stories, our weight loss, and the men are rocking it absolutely, but we got to pay attention to our men, like seriously, because we can allow this phone to get out of hand. And I had to get myself to the point to where there were times in which I had to take the time to listen, because Nate was, you know, he'll give me signs, right? He'll give me signs, then he'll communicate. And, you know, he'll communicate a couple times, and I literally found myself, like, for real, we'd be riding down in the car going somewhere, you know, we're supposed to be going out and being with one another, and all I'm doing is this the entire time. You know, I'm not having a conversation with him. I'm not, you know, talking. If we're with the family, I'm not talking with the family. I'm just like this. And for real, if you don't set those boundaries, you're going to look up. And the very thing that you're working for, right, which is your why, your family, your everything, you're gonna be that one that has now distanced everybody. And they start to regret the things that you're trying to accomplish because of the fact that this, we're just like this all day long. So you gotta set boundaries. I had to learn that for real, like even with my kids, you know, and creating a success, just being from real, y'all want some realness right here, and creating a success that we've been able to create. You know, obviously we all have our families, we have our wives, and our, you know, our why is my kids. But it's nothing like looking up. And the only thing that your kids are telling you is that mommy never has time for me. And, you know, she's always in her phone, or you're going somewhere. And, you know, like literally my baby boy, he'll be like, okay, mom, we're putting the phone over here. Like literally, he'll say, I'm taking your phone from you. And that's not how I want my kids to remember me. Like for real, there's no success worth losing the very thing that you're working for, you know, that you want to be a blessing for, that you want to leave a legacy for. There's nothing like that. And I had to learn, and I still, it's a daily battle, like for real. I still, because, and what we do, especially when you're moving in your purpose of really being able to impact and to help to change the lives of others, you can sometimes get lost in the midst of it and not really keeping the balance that God intended us to keep. So I just wanted to share that, because that's something that I have to work on daily, for real, to say, okay, I got to set these parameters, and I'm not perfect, so I'm still working on it. But it's not a good feeling to hear your kids, and even to have your spouse say, you know what, I mean, Nate has told me this. I don't want to go nowhere with you, because all you're going to do is sit there and text on your phone. Seriously. And I had to pay that attention. I had to pay some attention to that.
What are the signs?
Yeah.
There's signs that are all around y'all, guys. And we really have to pay more attention to it, because when you, Pam said, talked about changing lives. If you get too busy changing the lives of others and you forget to change your own life,
mm-hmm.
you know, it becomes a problem.
Right.
You know, and I said it on the last week's show, what profits a man or a woman to gain the world but lose your soul?
Right.
Right. And
absolutely.
It's the same concept for
right.
your family. And guys, you have to have a balance. You can't save the world. And I wrote a business manual for the direct sales and network marketing. It's called How to Build a Fire
mm-hmm.
in Your MLM Business.
Mm-hmm.
And that business manual had one section in it that's called the Jesus Mentality. right? You are not Jesus. The last person that I know that tried to save the world, he was crucified,
mm-hmm.
right? And he was the Son of God, right? You are not equipped to save the world,
right?
Right? You're only equipped to save those that you that come in contact with you as you try to have some resemblance of balance,
right?
Right? You can't. God doesn't call anybody to save everybody outside of their family, but destroy your family,
right?
Right? So it feels good when a lot of people need you. And they're wanting you in the beginning. It's that thing that drives you.
Right.
But then you get burnt out.
Right.
Right. You get burnt out and you're like, okay. And your eyes get open. And you're like, okay, there's too many of them and only one of me.
Right.
Right? So when you really understand how this thing works, now you're like, we did a whole series on time management. It's really not time management. It's self-management.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
the self-management piece of it says that, you know, you have X amount of days, hours in a day. If you can't, I mean, I think I dwindled it down and gave enough time for to play around and to do different things during the day. And you still had 10 hours in the day,
right?
10 hours in your day to build your business or to do what you need to do. If you can't do it in 10 hours, then you're not being productive.
Absolutely.
You're not. So we really have to take all of that into consideration. But more importantly, guys, pay attention to your spouse. Okay. Because what happens is if you don't pay attention, right, if you don't give them attention, pretty much what will happen is you'll look up. And you have destroyed it.
Right, they ain't paying attention.
You've
no
destroyed
more.
It. Yeah, they're not paying attention anymore. And then you look up and you're like, okay, this is not good.
Right.
And honestly, it happens every day, guys. It gets to a point to where you can love a person, but you don't like what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And that the fact that you don't like what they do starts to overshadow the fact that you know of what our goals were for each other.
Right.
As a couple, you have to have goals. Personal goals for each other first, right? You got to keep the main thing the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, ladies, gentlemen out there, whatever you're doing, you have to stop and decompress and spend time. And you can't make it feel like, well, you know, let me go spend some time with this joker before he get mad.
Right, right, right.
You know, or let me go spend some time with
it. Right.
If you don't feel like doing it,
right.
If it's not something that you want to do, then you should, you got to question.
What's going on
and how you feel. It's not what you think, it's how you feel.
Absolutely.
Right? And you have to take the onus of yourself. Because Pam is right. I'll communicate to her. I'm like, hey, I said, you know, this ain't working.
Yeah.
This is not
right.
working. You know, I'm in the bed at 10, 11 o'clock, you up to 2 in the morning. We passing in the night, passing in the morning. This is not working.
Yeah, you got to pull that thing back.
And
like,
I'll say it a couple times, maybe 3. Me, I'm a 2-strike guy. And I say it a couple times and you don't say it, Pam knows, I cut you out. I will shut her off. I'm like, do whatever you want to do. She'll ask me questions. I'll be like, I don't give a flip. So what you do. Do it. Guys, let me tell y'all something. Money does not buy you happiness.
No, it sure don't.
It does not buy you happiness. No one should tell you that. I know some broke people that are very happy. I know some broke people that are miserable. I know some people with a lot of money that are happy and with their money because their God is money. I know some people with money that are miserable right
mm-hmm.
now, right? As a matter of fact, I know people with money that are so miserable they wish they never even had the money,
right?
So money doesn't buy you happiness. So don't think that just because you create money for your family, don't think that that's enough.
It's not enough.
Your kids don't care about the money.
No.
Right? Your spouse,
right.
If he's a real spouse or if she's a real spouse, she doesn't care. For my benefit, my hierarchy is I think we talked about it, is mind. You got it. You can't be crazy, right? And you got to be willing to take care of your body,
mm-hmm.
right? And then the money aspect of it for me is last.
Right. And, you know, you just said something powerful when it comes down to the kids. And Brianna touched on that yesterday when we had her on the live yesterday for Millennial Monday. And she talked about how she never realized, you know, she never mm-hmm. realized that mm-hmm. we were broke. She never
right.
realized we were broke. And it's so true. Kids don't care about that. But she also... as things began to transition and we started to create the success and how she didn't really want to, you know, tap. She always loved the products, but she didn't want to tap until TLC until, you know, recently, but she's always been retailing, right? On how she said, she used to say, I didn't want to do that. All I saw was this. and this and that. And then she realized that there was another way. I want to do it my way. And that's so true, you know?
Yeah. And it's how you build it is how you have to maintain it.
Right.
Guys, you got to understand, even in business, and our industry is such a good example because it's an easy target,
mm-hmm.
right? Because there's so many cliches that kind of govern our business that, you know, we call principles, right? And some of those principles are flawed. I'm going to say this officially. Some of those
right.
principles
the
are
no
cliches or flawed.
Let me tell you, the
right?
no sleep zone.
No,
y'all getting the no sleep
yeah,
zone
I'm
if you
a,
want
I'm,
to.
I'm part of team
you're not
no sleep.
Not going to be here long.
That's called
for
I'm
real,
a part of team
But that's
team
the type of stuff that we used to believe. That's the type of stuff we used to teach. And honestly, there is a level of sacrifice. There's no success without sacrifice. But I can promise you that as you get older, you start to get very wise. And you start to realize if you're sitting in the no sleep zone, talking about I'm going to get these goals, this and that, not getting no rest, you do the research. See how many hours, how much time that cuts off your life, like for real.
Yeah. And let's touch on that a little bit because I think it's very important. You can do a whole series on this, right? And when you think about really what it means not to get sleep, it's the one most important thing is sleep deprivation. Sleep deprivation cuts off time from your life. Period.
Mm-hmm.
On
yes,
top
it
of
does.
It, it stresses out your immune system mm-hmm. and your body because your body is not resting enough to repair itself daily.
Right.
Right. So, you know, people, you wonder why elderly people have the problems that they have is because they live that kind of life.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They've done something to neglect their bodies. They haven't put the right thing in and they've neglected what they should do.
Right.
And your body goes in that thing called REM sleep, REM sleep. Your body is at optimal repair mode. It can replenish things. It can do what it needs to do. People don't give their body that opportunity. So what they do is they think that it's sexy. They think it's a sign of production. It's work. If I stay up to 2-3 in the morning, you know, no, it's not. It's, what you're doing is you're killing yourself because you're destroying the inside of your body. And the thing about it is you can't see the inside of your body, right? But until you feel it,
right?
When you feel it, it's almost to that point to where you got to do something different or you it's already too far gone.
Right. Reaction.
Right? It's reaction,
that's
not proactive.
Proactive.
But mm-hmm. people can't see what's happening on the inside of their body. So they just ignore it and keep doing what they're doing until they get a certain age and then they've lived the best years of their life.
Right.
Right? So when you really think about it, guys, and this is serious, when you look at the self-management piece of what we do every day, I'm going to break this down one more time and we'll go on to these other points,
mm-hmm.
right? You got, let's just say that you sleep in and you wake up. Nobody should be waking up at 9 o'clock, period, just for the record. I don't know how you do. If you go to sleep on time, it's not even possible to wake up.
No.
That's like
when
crazy.
When I go to sleep early, man, I'm up by like 4 or 5 o'clock in the
yeah,
morning.
Yeah, right. Right. Once your body gets enough sleep, your brain says, okay, just start waking him up. Start waking her up.
Right.
You know, and people don't realize that,
yeah.
right? So you wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning, just to say for some of you that sleep in, 8 o'clock in the morning, and you get up, you go to work, right? You go to work, and you spend 8 hours a day at work, and you come home, and most people get home at about 6 o'clock, right? 6 o'clock in the evening or so. And so now that's you're up 6 o'clock, and then you've got, you know, 3 to 4 more hours to
mm-hmm.
do what you do during the day,
mm-hmm.
right? So you've been productive at work. You got 4 hours to come home and be productive. That leaves you 2 hours with the kids or 3 hours with the kids and 1 hour with the husband or 2 hours with the kids and 2 hours with the husband or wife, whatever it is, with your spouse, right? That's how you have to schedule your day. So now when you start thinking about this thing, now you're saying, I did work all day long, and now I got to build, quote unquote, my business.
Mm-hmm.
But your time frame during the day, guys, and I wrote a book about this, how I survived corporate America, right? And it is called The Escape Plan. I in that book I said how you actually can maximize your time during the day.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So during the day, you know that you're not living an ordinary life anymore.
Right.
Right? You're living an above average life because now you have above average goals.
Right.
So that means I'm ready to do something different. So that means when I go to work, I'm not going out to lunch anymore with Tyrone and Tanya and them. I'm not doing that because, A, I'm spending money at restaurants that I don't need to spend money at, right? I need to be saving my money for my business, right? So, yeah, you're going to make a short-term sacrifice for a long-term gain, one
mm-hmm.
of the best cliches in the industry,
right?
In life. So now I'm not spending that time with them. I'm bringing my lunch today because I'm saving money, right? And on top of that, when I have breaks in work, when I don't have to do anything, now I can do little things to build my business. That's my time. I'm spending my hour during the lunchtime doing what I need to do and my break. So that's about 2 hours a day. When you guys calculate it, I bet you every one of you got about 2 hours a day you don't do nothing, right? Unless you're in one of those call centers and they're cracking that whip on you, like, you know, you've got 10-minute breaks and crap, you know, but that happens. But you still have time. So let's just say you got an hour every day. You got 2 15-minute breaks, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's an hour and a half that you got to build your business and cut the fluff, right? So now you come home. That gives you, let's just trim that down. Say you got 5 hours to build your business.
Right.
You can still get in bed.
At a decent hour.
Like 11 o'clock, I used to go to bed at 11 o'clock. Pam be like, why are you in bed so early?
Like, early. I was like, 11 o'clock.
I'd be like, this is not. Who thinks that 11 o'clock going to bed is early on here? Y'all don't be scared. Say that's late, right? Because I've never thought that was early because I calculate my time, right? So my time is, and we know that there's things that happen throughout the week sometimes. You don't always get in bed on time. There's one day a week we typically don't get in on time, and it's closed out Thursday,
right?
So we understand that, and your body understands that, mm-hmm. right? So now you've got, let's just say you go to bed at 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock, your body needs about 6 hours of sleep a night, right? It's going to take you about close to an hour to get into REM sleep. So it's going to get that sleep it needs, and then it's going to wake you up, right?
Just don't get no sleep.
See what I'm saying? See, and that's the thing.
You better get some sleep.
But that's the cliches that I've heard.
That's the cliches,
right?
That's cutting hours off your life.
Yeah, those are the cliches that are killing people right now. And these are the people that can't walk. And these are the people that get up in the, you know, throughout the day and they feel
bad. The bosses are the ones getting sleep.
Guys, I ain't got no problem with y'all standing up. You're a boss. You're the boss of yourself. You can be a boss.
Right.
But I'm talking about understanding the balance that you need throughout your day. Okay? If you can't maximize your time to be productive, Pam, throughout your day and get your butt into bed by 11 o'clock,
yeah,
you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
You are, right, for real.
A lack of rest, you can't even mentally function properly.
Right.
When your mind
you're not your best self.
Yeah, you're not your best self. You can't even create, you know, when you don't have enough rest. You find yourself like almost in a fog, because I know I done been there, done that, to the point where I'm just like, okay, that's it. I'm done, because I can't create and I can't be my best self in order to
say that again, because that's important what you just said. Because I think that's the epitome of everything we're talking about in terms of the time management piece, right? So you said when you wake up, you're not your best self, and so you can't do your best work. You don't even think.
I can't even think, right? Yeah, if I'm tired, if I'm exhausted, if I allow myself to be pulled in every direction, I cannot be my best self, and I need to be my best self because God has given me a purpose. In order to be able to help and to impact and change the lives of others, I can't do what my purpose is if I am not operating at my best self, because now I'm giving out of something that I really don't have, right? And I can't create. I can't.
You can't create. That's
right?
The most important
right.
thing. You cannot
right.
create.
You gotta get rest.
But it comes down to what I said earlier, guys. It's the Jesus mentality.
Right.
You're not Jesus. Jesus came to save the world to crucify him. You can only save the people that God puts in your path. So stay on your path. And as you're on your path, now you're able to effectively touch and be productive with the people that are going the same direction that you are.
Mm-hmm.
And if you understand this, guys, you'll find that your days are more productive, right? And you got to have better conversations since we're on this time management piece.
Mm-hmm.
More productive conversations. Nobody's saying you got to be a robot, okay?
Right.
But what we are saying is that understand your time during the day and what you have to get done. Create a list.
Absolutely.
That's something that Pam got good at doing, and she's kind of, and she does it sometimes, and most of the time she does it, but sometimes she misses it. And every time she doesn't create a list, she'll tell me, I didn't create a list today. I didn't get a fraction of the things done that I wanted to get done.
I get tossed and turned in every direction.
Right. You allow every phone, every time somebody calls you, you're answering the call, and they ask you one question, and you take 30 minutes to give them one answer, right? It's not productive. And what's happening is you're not teaching people to fish and find the answers for themselves.
Right.
You're creating followers, not leaders.
Right.
And that's life, guys, period. I used to have this saying that I had on my wall in corporate America at my desk. It said, when somebody would come to the my door, you know, and I'd be like, yeah, come on in, you know. And on the door, it was a sign that said, your lack of planning does not constitute an emergency on my behalf.
And that is so true.
Right? So
and
so
you got to learn to implement that into your life because
yeah.
I tell you, everybody feels like their emergency is supposed to be your emergency. And it's a lack, when it's a lack of planning, it's not. And that's so true. Your lack of planning does not constitute an emergency on my behalf. And that's a good way to keep things in balance. Otherwise, you'll be tossed and turned at every situation, everything that people throw at you. And now you look up and you're not doing what you're supposed to do.
You become the resource.
Right.
You become the dot in the middle of the bullseye.
Right.
Right. And then everybody will bring everything to you because you have no standards. You're not teaching people how to fish.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If somebody comes to you and they ask you a question, they'd be like, the first question I ask people on our team when they come in at, you know what?
I would get off on this.
I said, well, you, yeah, I know, right? It's a good topic, though.
Right.
You know, were you on the team call on Thursday?
Right.
Well, no, well, we talked about that on the team call. Okay, I'm going to need you to plug in, okay? and here, real quick, this is what we have to get to because how you build it is how you have to maintain it.
That's true.
Right? So now you're teaching as a leader, and everybody is a leader if you're not leading anybody but yourself, right? So now you're teaching people how to go out and actually fish for the answers by saying, okay, this is where I need for you to go look. You go to the help section and you find it right there, put this in it, and it'll come up. Now you never have to answer that question again, right? Instead of saying, well, let me get that and I'll send it to you. Guys, what you just did is you cooked the meal, right? You prepared the table, you fixed the plates, all right? And you're sitting there now feeding people,
right?
With able arms and able legs. And honestly, you think that it's the best thing, but it's not. But it's the same thing in a relationship. Since we're talking about relationships today, it's the same exact thing. Every joint supplieth in a relationship. So you have to be just as strong of a vessel as your partner. There's things that Pam can do that she does better than me, right? Things that I do better than her, right? And we both recognize that and acknowledge that.
Right.
So we work in that vein.
Right? Absolutely.
So I want to get back to these points because that's a whole nother series all in itself.
I know, right?
First thing was conversations become texting.
Right.
We already know that destroys relationships. Arguments become phone calls, right? Arguments become phone calls. You no longer, when you're in somebody's face and you have to submit an argument to them, your spouse, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, whatever the case may be, it's a little different when you're actually looking at them, right? You see the person that you committed your life to or you're committed to at that moment. And you said, you know, I want to be able to say things to you face to face. And there may be some things you don't say face to face that you wouldn't say that you would say on the phone or you wouldn't say on the phone. So it's easy for it's like when I tell Pam, I said, you're not going to text me and ask me for money. You can't do that. There's no such thing. You got to call me. We need to talk.
Right.
That's just how I am. Now, some of you may that may be cool with you.
Of course, that's not what Nate and I do. We don't ask each other for money.
No. I'm not talking about you.
No.
Okay. I'm talking about anybody outside.
I was going to say, no. We do.
Yeah. You don't got to ask me for money. Yeah.
I'm going to set that straight, okay?
We both have access to everything. Right. So that's the funny part with people when they think that, okay, when they ask Pam for something, they think Nate don't know about it. And then they ask Nate for something, you think Pam don't know about it. We know everything. People say, well, don't tell your, you know, I'm going to tell you, but don't tell your husband. I'm like, are you serious right now?
Right.
And we've been together for 31 years, even before that.
And
we've always had that vow.
Partnership, trust, communication, all of that. Like, for real, you have to communicate.
Now, there's some things that guys may share. And women may share and you don't. I don't share with her, and she doesn't share with me.
Right.
But if it's something that affects both of us,
yeah,
of course she's gonna not keep it from me.
Right.
And you know what I'm saying? So that just kind of goes without saying. She's not gonna tell me certain things that she's heard, you know, in that regard. So arguments become phone calls.
Feelings
become subliminal messages. I've been guilty of that, right? And it's one of the tools in my toolbox. Right. So Pam will tell you when I've communicated to Pam my feelings and she doesn't listen, then I just start sending subliminal messages. She'll send me a text message and I won't answer. She'll call me on the phone and I don't answer it. Right.
And that's one of the one of the things when you're in a relationship, you know what buttons to push and what buttons not to push. And that, I tell you, that's one of the things that over the course of time, of course, you know, when you're in a relationship for so long, you get yourself to the point where you disagree, but you don't argue anymore. Like, but back in the day, you know, in the first couple of years, we would have them arguments and things of that nature. And that would be the one thing, because he would know I'm going to immediately call him. He would just send me straight to voicemail and things like that. But, you know,
just called me like 75 times.
You know, you got to answer the doggone phone call and stuff, but he knew exactly how to get to me.
And this is good what Patrice said, and I like that she said stop sulking, because here's the thing. When you we can go back a little bit. We talked about guys recognize the signs.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah, you have to.
Wheels don't fall off.
No, they've been wobbling.
They eventually fall off, but they've been wobbling. You can't recognize the wheel falling off if you can't recognize the wobble.
Right.
So the wobble is where the restoration comes into place.
Mm-hmm.
The wobble is where
you can tighten it up.
But once the wheel falls off, you done messed up the axle. You done probably bent the frame because now the truck done hit the ground. That's now it's total.
Right.
You got to understand. So sulking is not sulking when you communicate.
Right.
You say, hey, wheels are wobbling. We need to tighten that thing up. No, you every night you go to bed at 2 o'clock. Every day, you're all day long saying everybody needs me. That's for everybody else, but everybody is coming to me. You know,
conversations.
I'm saying, but we've been married 31 years,
right?
Y'all, and if we're having these problems, I know you guys are having these problems, right? But we want to be transparent so you guys understand how to deal with this,
right?
Okay. Guys,
yeah, because a lot of people look at us and say, oh, they're so perfect.
No,
listen, we put our daily work. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? We don't argue. We don't do any of that. No.
We disagree, but, you know, like Nate will give me the silent treatment. When Nate is done, he walks
because
around and it shows all over his face.
Yeah, I've tried, though.
And that's in any situation.
I always communicate with you, right?
Oh, absolutely.
In the beginning, Pam, I did not communicate.
No, he didn't. He's a driving.
I would be
crazy.
Like, I wouldn't say nothing. I would just immediately shut off without even saying anything.
Right.
And he would tell me, well, just communicate. Tell me.
Right.
And I said, okay, it took me some years to learn that. But when I learned it, then I started to communicate. And then she would get real silent. And I'd be like, does that mean I'm right? Oh, that mean I'm wrong. I just need to know which one it is so we can move to the next level.
Right.
But she would stop, and then I found out that Pam stops talking when she feels, you know, that she's wrong sometimes. Okay, I'm talking now because I don't, you know. And she got to the point where she didn't want to admit. And I was at a point in time when I didn't want to admit when I was wrong.
Right.
But we both got to the point to where, guys, there's so much power when you say, you know what, you're right.
It sure is.
I was wrong. You're right. And you're not saying it just to patronize the person, right? You're saying it because genuinely you accept the fact that you're wrong.
Right.
Right. And Pam is calling me after she knows that she's like, I've tried to tell her the same things over and over again and she don't. And I'll answer a call. And then she, you know, I let her call me 4 or 5 times. And she'd be like, you know, she's like, oh, you saw me. I know you saw me calling you. I said, that's what that feels like, huh? You know?
Because I'll be on the phone working.
Right. And then I said, girl, when I call
like
you,
on the phone.
When I call you, I don't care who you're talking
you
to.
You start to take each other for granted, and
you
can't
should
do
say,
that.
Hold on, my husband's calling.
Right.
Baby, I'm on the phone with such a... And I'm always going to say, okay, well, call me back.
Don't take each other for granted.
Boom, that was 5, 10 seconds. Don't take your spouse for granted.
We got to continue this.
Yeah, don't take your spouse for granted.
Don't go through everything. We'll
continue. So we got up to arguments become phone calls. So we'll pick up guys on number 3 next week, and we've got 10 of these points to really go through.
On Friday.
Okay. So close this out, Sam.
Well, you know, I just want to say again, relationships. You know, it's a daily work. We got to make sure that we keep those lines of communication open in order to grow, in order to hear one another. And we just want to say thank you again
for tuning into The Grind on this Tuesday morning. Relationships are harder now. It's not what you think. It's about what you feel. So thanks for tuning in. And we'll see you on Friday, 30 a.m.
Butterflies, that's what I feel inside. And every time it's like my first time away, and I can never find the words to say. You're the perfect girl, you were made for me. It's so easy to love you, baby. We're compatible, credible, and natural. Tell me how.